The Subcommittee on Health Policy to order. Today we have several bills dealing with physician assistants, and we're going to start off with Senate Bill. We're just going to do them in order as listed. We are expecting Senator Montes Anderson to testify on 641, so when she gets here, we might close and let her testify and then reopen where we are. Mm-hmm. With that, let's start with Senate Bill. I'd like to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 531.
A.
Need some budgeting so you can get on.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 531A increases the number of physician assistants on the Physician Assistant Committee to 3 members, and that's within the Board of Medical Examiners. It eliminates the pharmacist member of that committee and clarifies the board of the authority of the BMA to license physician assistants.
Thank you very much. And seems that it came off the Senate floor with a cut problem. And we have Scott Beyer here to testify. We have 2 folks. Welcome to our committee.
Welcome.
And whoever wants to go first, just identify yourself.
Thank you, Chair Kotek. My name is Scott Beyer. I'm a physician assistant that's been practicing for 17 years. I am a past president of the Oregon Society of Physician Assistants and also the chair of the Governmental Affairs Committee. As you mentioned, Senate Bill 531A is a bill that is going to help improve our communication with the Board of Medical Examiners. The physician assistant is under the Board of Medical Examiners, and the Board of Medical Examiners helps make the practice description legal between the physician and the physician assistant. In the past, the Physician Assistant Advisory Board has been made of 2 physician assistants, a pharmacist, and 2 physicians, which one physician must have supervise a PA. And where we've been working through trying to improve that communication between the advisory committee and the main board, one of the ways we've talked about it is that in the past, we used to have a formulary of prescription privileges, and that has been gone by. So the aspects of a pharmacist now being on our board was needed in the past, is not needed now. So as we've talked about, how do we better communicate as an advisory committee and then bring that information to the full board, we have come up with a recommendation that that 3 PAs be on the physician assistant committee and 2 MDs, which one must be a supervising physician. And we did talk with the Pharmacy Association. We've also talked with the Board of Medical Examiners, and all of them are on board with this. And I think this would be a good idea to start improving communication.
Thank you. Mr. Breyer, I'm just wondering, when did your drug formulary go away?
Well, in the statutes, it still mentions the word formulary, but we don't have a formulary. When we have a practice description, that's a decision made by the supervised physician and the PA. So if the supervised physician wants to limit a certain kind of medication, they have the ability to do that when they write out the practice description. The only exception is in Schedule II medications. In Schedule II medications, a PA must be certified, and the physician must mark the spot that says, I agree that PA should have that Schedule II privilege. And so that's the only requirement in any medication is for Schedule II narcotics.
And did you cover Section 2 as well?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's quite right.
Thank you. Schedule 2, or Part 2 of this came up with the fact that we were notified that when the Assistant Attorney General with the Board of Medical Examiners and the LC here evaluated our statutes, they realized there really was no place in our statute where the Board of Medical Examiners had the power to license us. So even though that's been going on since the 70s, they reviewing it said, wait a minute, I can't find an area that actually gives them the power to license a PA. So they've asked that we also place that in, which we are totally agreeable with.
Seems like a good idea.
Yes.
Mr. Koba, did you want to testify as well, or are you just here for additional support?
Yes.
Thank you. Questions on this particular bill? Representative Greenlee.
Thank you. What's the current makeup of that committee?
The current makeup at
this is 2 PAs and
2 MDs, which one must be a supervising physician.
So the PAs alone can't dominate the committee.
That's correct.
But under the new makeup?
Well, the new, and remember, this is an advisory committee, so it's only going to give its input to the board, and the board's the one that makes the formal decision. But what it will become is, yes, the PAs will have the majority on that vote, which is right now we're the only advisory committee that's out there that does have has least members that it represents on it. So that's one reason we're working on changing that, is that there would be the majority would be PAs. That is correct.
May I follow up?
Yes, you may.
Is there a PA member of the board?
There is not. And we do not have a vote on the board. So what happens is that the chair of the PA committee gives the recommendations to the board, but has no vote and no voice other than giving their report.
One more question?
Yes.
Does the OMA have a position on any of this stuff?
They have not, they have been supportive of our work we've done. They haven't come out against opposition with it.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
You're welcome. Other questions? Have you sought voting placement on BME?
We have not sought. We have certainly considered. One of the aspects, since the majority of the boards out there have members on the board that it represents, the Board of Medical Examiners is in kind of a unique position. There's PAs, EMTs, and acupuncturists, which they cover, that do not have positions on the board. As you probably know, podiatrists recently got that privilege last legislative session. And that's worked out very well. So one of the things that we're taking a look at is seeing if this works better in communication with the board as far as keeping continuity. We're in a little bit of a different position because practice descriptions are required for us to practice in the state. So there has to be a group that reviews that practice description before it ever goes to the board. So one of the thoughts was is if we went with a board position, there would still have to be some kind of an advisory committee to try to figure out and work out the errors that would may happen in a practice description. So right now we thought this may be the better option and see where this takes us. And if we continue to have communication issues or problems with what's occurring, then we may look at that in the future, but we're not looking at it right now.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Other questions on 531? I think then we'll close the public hearing on that bill, but I would say stay. We're going to move on to the other, probably 678. So we'll close the public hearing on 531 and open a public hearing on 678. Marjorie.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 678 authorizes the supervising physician of a PA to designate another physician as an agent to temporarily supervise that PA. And again, this came to you from the Senate with at least 23 aye votes.
Mr. Wright.
Thank you, Chair Kotek. Again, my name is Scott Beyer. I'm a physician assistant. And Senate Bill 678 was brought to us by the Board of Medical Examiners. As you probably know, weird things happen in the legislature. Back in the mid-70s, the word agent used to be in our statute, and sometime along the road, which nobody really can find, it disappeared from the statute. What an agent is if our supervising physician is not directly available, they may have someone else who supervises us. And so that person would be termed an agent. It would be a physician who understands that they are available by electronic means if we have a question or a need for them. So 2 years ago, the Board of Medical Examiners created a rule that gave the terminology of agent, but it wasn't in statute. So again, the Assistant Attorney General said, you know, it's a little weird that we have a rule, but we don't have any statute to support that rule. So some representatives and senators have thought we're kind of going the opposite direction. We should have just dropped the rule and started with the statute, but we're trying to go the other way and finally say, you know, we all know that agents are out there. We use them on a daily basis. Everybody understands, at least in the Board of Medical Examiners, how they function and have approved to them. So we should have that term in our statute with its definition. So if someone went back, they would be able to find that.
Seems simple enough. Thank you. Any questions?
No question.
Yes, Representative Bonamici.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It looks like there were some people who opposed this on the Senate floor, and I wondered if they had articulated their reasons for that. I'm just curious.
Yes, Representative. The reason I just mentioned was the number one reason. They felt that because a rule was created, we were going at this backwards, that they should have dropped the rule, and we should have, instead of trying to create statute that supports a rule, what we should have done is they should have dropped the rule and then gone back as a statute and then create a rule based on the statute. statute. And that was the number one reason that they verbally gave us for being against it, was more of how it was being handled versus the concept of what was being done.
Thank you. That's interesting. Other
question? I'm unconvinced. Oh, not with
Representative. It. There is the Bruin theorem.
It's a whole different theory, but we won't go there.
That perhaps there's an attempt to have no votes on the Senate side. But
yes.
That sounds like a reasonable reason, I guess. Other questions on this bill? Seeing none? I think we're good. And I apologize. We did not schedule this for a work session day, but we'll have to go to the full committee anyway with this. So I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 678. And colleagues, I'm just looking at Senate Bill 641 because I wanted to make sure that the chief sponsor was able to lead off, but she's not here till 3:30, so I think what we'll do is get started.
We'll be gone. We'll be gone by then.
Well, we will wait. But with that, let's open a public hearing on Senate Bill 641.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 641 allows licensed physician assistants to give written certification for a person to be considered a person with a disability under certain wildlife rules.
Sounds straightforward, I guess. Mr. Breyer.
Thank you, Representative Kotek. And again, my name is Scott Breyer. And Senate Bill 641, and it was, an interesting time. Ordinance site physician assistant came out with 675, and great minds think a lot, because Senator Bates and Senator Mona Sanderson also came out with the bill at the same time, and neither of us knew that we were doing it. That basically said the same thing. So we were proud to bring Senator Mona Sanderson's and Senator Bates' bill to life, and that's Senate Bill 641. Physician assistants at this time can sign for disability for motor vehicle, but for whatever reason, that never fell true for wildlife. That's actually really affected a lot of PAs who work in rural areas, because they are the primary care provider, and there are a lot of people, as we know, in eastern Oregon and other places that fish and hunt, and they are the person who's taking care of those individuals, and so they have not been able to sign the disability form. Now, some of them have been doing it, some get by, some don't, but we really want to make this official for patient care. And this is for patients who meet a disability requirement, and there is a very specific requirement that you must have as a patient to meet for a disability form. So there's both cardiac effect or physical orthopedic handicap that would limit you from being able to hunt or fish normally. And so if that patient meets that criteria, then a PA would be able to sign for that disability under this bill.
And we do have someone from Fish and Wildlife to testify as well, but questions for Mr. Breyer. So they actually have I can ask this, Fish and Wildlife. There's an actual permit that marks that they're disabled.
Yeah. And people kind of wonder what that is, and I'm sure they can help expand that. But, you know, some of the simple things we don't think about are handicapped fishing docks, you know, for wheelchair-bound, which are specifically you must have a permit for. So there are some areas that patients ask that they can have that permit so they can go down into a handicapped dock if they're on a wheelchair or a scooter and be able to do those types of things. And there's certain requirements for hunting also.
Thank you. With that, why don't we bring up the folks from the Department of Fish and Wildlife? And I know you're not going anywhere in case we have additional questions. Thank you. Is it Roy Elliker and David Boudreau? Boudreau, thank you.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Roy Elliker. I am Deputy Director for the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, in charge of fish and wildlife programs. On my left, Mr. Dave Boudreau, Upland Bird Coordinator with the Wildlife Division, who helps work on the disabled program for us. Anyway, just some short testimony. We worked with the physician assistants group, Marshall Koba and the gentleman behind us. We worked with them in the interim. They came to us, identified that in our disabled program, through oversight or otherwise, we did not allow a physician's assistant to be the caregiver and actually sign off on the form, and that was causing the trouble, some problems perhaps in some of the, in rural Oregon, where these folks are so important in giving aid to folks. Anyway, when they contacted us, we met them a few times. We helped draft the bill, worked with Marshall. We're good with it. And it's fine by us.
Great.
Dave's just here to help answer any questions you may have on the program.
Questions for the department?
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much for being here. Thank you.
Appreciate the opportunity and appreciate working closely with the folks in the Physician Assistance Association. And again, it's, like I said, we worked together in the interim, put this together, and it's an easy bill today.
Yeah, good bill. Thank you. Thanks for working together and thanks for coming today. And I think you're right. We might not be here when Senator Moss Anderson is free. So I will go down and tell her personally that we're going to close up. I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 641. And again, I apologize for not scheduling these for work session. We just got them scheduled without. We just want to make sure we had some things on the docket for this week. I believe the chair.
Why don't I announce, since this is the last meeting of the subcommittee, that I'll move Senate Bill 531A, Senate Bill 641, and Senate Bill 678A to the full committee where we'll give it proper attention.
Thank you, Representative Greenlick. And also the other bills that we heard on Tuesday for the naturopaths, we will do the same as well.
Yep, thank you.
And just move them on. And we'll be able to provide information to the full committee that we can move through those quickly if we're all in agreement. I think pretty much housekeeping. The only thing I will probably spend a little time on is the one issue around the amendment on that one bill.
Did we need it? Did we formally move those to the floor?
No, because we had to schedule them for work session.
Oh.
So, but since we're not meeting anymore, we'll just pull them out into the floor.
Okay.
And we'll do them that way. And I've had a great time. It's been a great subcommittee, and I hope, I don't know if we'll meet in the interim. I don't know how that's going to work, but we have full tomorrow. Yes? Representative?
Full tomorrow. Then hold Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I want to just, since this is our last official meeting in the subcommittee, I want to formally and on the record thank you and congratulate you. I've had a couple conversations with you sort of along these issues. From my perspective, party opposite, I think you've done a tremendous job of managing this committee, managing the partisan aspects of this committee, managing the controversial aspects of this committee, both within the committee and in a full line of communication, especially calling the sub-chairs out or the vice-chairs out and making sure that there was no surprises or anything like that, as well as the way that you overall have managed those issues which have come to us, which have been controversial among opponents and proponents, and sort of sending it out to in a strong way and a smart way to, for the most part, have them sorted out before before they come back to us. So I just wanted to formally put on the record my sincere appreciation and gratitude for the way you've managed this committee. Thank you. It's been a pleasure to serve with you.
Thank you. I appreciate the comments. Representative Gilson?
I was just going to echo those and to thank you for a great experience on one of my first committees here and how much I especially appreciated your ability to bring parties together to negotiate agreements to make really great use of the time that we've had together here. And so thank you and congratulations on your first chairship. It was a job well done.
That. Well, it's been a very good committee, and I thank you all for your cooperativeness and everything.
And likewise, at the risk of sounding like a broken record, thank you to the chair for your great work. One of the things that's really impressed me about my first term in the legislature is how much cooperation and collaboration there is, and we've really seen that in this committee. And we've had some very interesting and sometimes controversial issues, and we're moving along. So thank you very much for all your good work.
Thank you.
Well, may I just add it is a unanimous vote, and certainly do appreciate the strength of skill that you brought to this committee. Very much appreciated.
Thank you very much. Thank you all, and I really do think we've had a great committee, and it's good to have Marjorie here, but we don't have Sandy here today, and we have a lot of work to do in the fool yet. So thank you all for.
Great committee administration.
Yes. I'd like to think we are in the top running for the best subcommittee.
Oh, I don't think there's any question at all.
There you go. With that, we're adjourned.